All right, we're going to be reading from Psalm 50, so if you haven't got a Bible, grab one. I'll wait for you to get it and open it up. Well, 51's probably good too. And I'm reading from the CEV. But I'm sure the other versions are nearly as good at least. What I consider at least one of the, probably the most important bits out of the this psalm, I haven't actually got much to say about because I don't really know myself, which is a bit unfortunate. But so pay attention to the rest of it. Psalm 50. From east to west, the powerful Lord God has been calling together everyone on earth. God shines brightly from Zion, the most beautiful city. Our God approaches, but not silently. A flaming fire comes first, and a storm surrounds him. God comes to judge his people. He shouts to the heavens and to the earth. Call my followers together. They offered me a sacrifice, and we made an agreement. The heavens announce, God is the judge and he is always honest. My people, I am God. Israel, I am your God. Listen to my charges against you. Although you offer sacrifices and always bring gifts, I won't accept your offerings of bulls and goats. Every animal in the forest belongs to me, and so do the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds in the mountains, and every wild creature is in my care. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because I own the world and everything in it. I don't eat the meat of bulls, or drink the blood of goats. I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. Pray to me in time of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. But to the wicked I say, you don't have the right to mention my laws or claim to keep our agreement. You refused correction and rejected my commands. You made friends with every crook you met, and you liked people who break their wedding vows. You talked only about violence and told nothing but lies. You sat around gossiping, ruining the reputation of your own relatives. When you did all of this, I didn't say a word, and you thought, God is just like us. But now I will accuse you. You have ignored me, so pay close attention or I will tear you apart and no one can help you. The sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. Obey me, and I, your God, will show my power to save. I quite like that psalm. Now, just while I remember, Wednesday night cell group, remember the homework? Any scripture of the Bible that meant something to you for some reason? Okay? Just thought I'd remind everyone before I forgot. All right. From east to west, the powerful Lord God has been calling together everyone on earth. You know, God is coming back. It says that a few times in the Bible. It's one of the things, you know. Jesus said, I go to my Father's house to prepare rooms, or something like that, you know, in my Father's house, many rooms. Jesus will come back. God will judge everyone. And those he chooses will be with him forever. One of the things I like about this psalm is, well, for want of a better word, I suppose I could call it a gospel psalm. It's got a lot of the message about the gospel message in it. Our God approaches, but not silently. A flaming fire comes first and a storm surrounds him. That speaks to me about God's power. And it's something, well, I don't think, I know I don't, I guess, but I guess a lot of Christians are like that too. It's something we don't tend to think about a whole lot. And I think it's something, you know, I and probably a lot of others don't really understand the power of God. Like a few times in the Bible, it's mentioned that when one of his prophets ran away, was it Elijah? I don't know, one of them. He was having a bit of a downer, and he was saying, oh, "I'm the only one left," and yeah, and God, he sort of ran away, and God sent one of his angels to give him some bread and whatnot to give him strength, and he got told to go to the mountain, and he went there, and God said, "I will reveal myself to you." So Elijah or whoever it was in a cave. Elijah was in a cave, and this huge fire just roared down the mountain, burning everything in its path. The next thing, there was this huge storm or windstorm or something, and it just, you know, incredibly powerful windstorm, but God still didn't talk to Elijah then. And then there was a gentle breeze, and God spoke to Elijah in the gentle breeze, and he said, oh, Elijah wanted to see God, to actually see him, and God said, well, look, I'll come past, but I won't let you see my face, because if you do, you'll be dead. So God walked past. Elijah went to the opening of the cave and looked out, and God came along and just held his face, his hand in front of him, in front of Elijah, so he couldn't see his face until he'd just passed, and then he took his hand away. You know, the power of God is such that our physical beings could not handle seeing him in everything, in his fullness, in his glory. That's how strong he is. Just the sight of him can kill. There was that time in when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and they had all these processions and people singing and dancing, and they got to one place and the oxen stumbled or something and the cart rocked, and one of the guys put his hand on it, presumably to stop it falling off, and he died. Such is the power of God that people cannot exist that closely to him. There's also bits in what someone was having a vision. It's in if you really want to find it, whatever, it's in Ezekiel 46 and 44, but this man was being showed a vision, and he was being shown through the temple and how it was laid out, and you know how big everything was and how many cubits this room was and where it was and all this sort of stuff. And the kitchens where the priests cooked the grain for the offerings was in a certain spot, so that when they carried it from those kitchens to the temple, they wouldn't have to go through the people. Because if any of the people accidentally touched the grain, they would, well, depends on your version. Mine says harmed, and the NIV says consecrated. Now, consecrated to me is it's like, somehow it's like set apart for God, and it's just sort of holy somehow. And the Bible says they didn't want to carry it through the people, because if they touched it, they would be harmed. You know, this stuff is that full of God's presence, I guess, that to touch it if you weren't a priest and had been cleansed and gone through everything, it was dangerous to you. And the same thing in chapter 44, where the priests had their priestly robes that were made especially for them, for the priests, and only the priests could wear them. But their change room was in a spot where, and these priests had to go to this change room after they finished doing their priestly jobs and get changed there before they went out to the people. Because, again, if any of the people touched their clothes, they would be harmed. You know, God is... It just speaks to me of the awesome, incredible power. Like, forget about 240 volts. We all know not to stick our finger in the socket or stick a paperclip in there because the power can hurt us. Well, here we're talking about God and food that has been given, cooked, and as a sacrifice for him can harm someone if they touch it. The clothes, the very clothes the priests wear could touch it. You know, if you get too close to God without his protection, you die. That is the God we serve, and he is powerful. You know, if he shows up in his fullness, he doesn't come quietly. You know, raging fires like on the mountain, was it Sinai, when after they crossed the Red Sea and all that, and God wanted to show himself to his people when Moses was there. And, you know, there was a boundary. Like, no one could go any higher up the mountain than this boundary, God said, except for Moses. And when God came down to the mountain, the whole top of the mountain was just covered in smoke because it was just fire just burning. You know, this mountain itself was on fire because God touched it. And the people were too scared. They said, no, Moses, you go up and talk to God, and then come back and tell us what he said, and we'll obey you. But don't make us go and talk to God, you know, we don't want to die. You know, this flame, Capitar, is just burning and covered in smoke because God touched it. And we were too scared to go up, so we said, you, Moses, you go up. Well, Keith, you go up and talk to God, and we'll listen to you when you come back. You know, the power of God is awesome. And... you know, we so casually sing at times, you know, let your power come down or let your fire burn in me, and that's a good thing. But, you know, maybe what we should be thinking is maybe a little bit of your power burn in me. You know, make me holy before I get too much of it and die, you know. But anyway, it's just something. God comes, but he doesn't come quietly. Okay, and the thing God wanted to say first to his people, and they were his people, the Israelites, God comes to judge his people, you know, he shouts, call my followers together, you know, they've offered me a sacrifice and we have made an agreement. It's his people he's talking to here. And he's saying, you offer me sacrifices, and you talk to me and everything, well, that might be all well and good, but I'm not that interested in your sacrifices. I don't need them. I don't eat the flesh of bulls. I don't drink the blood of goats. You know, I won't accept your offerings of bulls and goats. You know, God owns the whole world. And he says, the sacrifice I want, the only sacrifice I want, is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. Pray to me in time of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. And then he talks to the wicked, and I assume that's the people that aren't his people, you know, everyone else. Everyone else, you know, at that point, everyone else who wasn't an Israelite. But to the wicked I say, you don't have the right to even mention my laws or to say anything about keeping my agreement. You know? You refuse correction. you do what you want to do, when you want to do it. You don't care who you hurt. You refuse my correction. You won't listen to me. If you think about me at all, it's to say, oh, well, look, he doesn't do anything about it, so he must be just like us, you know, he doesn't mind if we do the wrong thing. Or you don't care or don't believe he's there. But then he says, now listen to this. You have ignored me, so pay close attention now, because if you don't, I will tear you apart. And I really don't doubt his ability to do that, because he's just turning up and showing himself fully to people is enough to kill him. So if you don't listen now, I'll tear you apart. The sacrifice that honours me is a thankful heart. Obey me, and I, your God, will show my power to save. And that says to me that it's not too late. God is in the saving business. You know, God's people themselves don't have it right yet. But he talks to the people that don't know God at all yet. And he says, you've done the wrong thing. And if you do it long enough, I'm going to destroy you. So turn back to me now. It's the message of Jesus. You know, if you turn to God, and God says, if you turn to me with a thankful heart and obey me, then I, your God, will show his power to save. You know, God will make you his child, and he will show you his salvation. So, God is incredibly powerful. God doesn't want sacrifices, animals and whatnot. He wants, well, it's a relationship, really. He wants, you know, they're the two bits that I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. Pray to me in time of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honour me. I think that's about the most important bit there. But I don't really understand it enough myself to go and try and teach you about it. So, if I was you, I'd mark Psalm 50 in your Bible and I'd think about it. Because even if we do come to understand it and come to live in it, we still need then to teach it to others. You know, that's worth thinking about, this. It's a good psalm, that. It's got a lot of things in it. And the most important thing in it, I think, you're going to have to discover for yourself.